I have the honor. I know he's here amongst us every week, but I feel so honored just to be a part with all of you. And so Jeremy, in a way, doesn't need an introduction, but I want to do it anyway. Because he's just such a good guy, and he's my brother, and I love him so much. And, oh, there he is. I'm looking around the room while Sam's like, where's Jeremy? There he is right there. Come on, brother. We look so forward to the Word of God through you today.
Good morning. Well, it's been said before, but we'll say it again. Good morning and welcome. So I want to be one of the first to wish those who have served, are serving, or are preparing to serve in our armed forces a very happy Veterans Day. Thank you so much for representing us at home and abroad and the sacrifices that have been made and are continuing to be made today. So I can't let today go by without honestly saying that. So as you might see behind us, we're continuing the series, if you will, of the letters. And Pastor Brent started this a little while ago, in which he's going through some of the various letters that we find in our scripture. Not too long ago, there was a certain pastor that did 1 John. And he walked off. Anyway, so I get to do the sequel. 2 John. Now, honestly, sometimes the sequels aren't as good as the originals, right? Looking at you, Star Wars. But the prequels, let's just forget those ever happened. But in this case, we're not 100% sure what order 1 John, 2 John, 3 John was written. But we do know, or we do see a glimpse of the authorship in all these letters. The book of 2 John, if you've read your Friday Focus, if you haven't, please sign up. It's a wonderful thing to read. Is the Cliff Note version of 1 John. There's not a lot to it. There's one chapter, I think 13 verses, not much as far as body there. But there's a lot being said. 2 John touches on many of the same topics that he expands upon later in 1 John. It touches on and it brings those topics to light. And I'm going to look at these topics that he expands upon in 1 John, but we'll look at them as he introduces them, we'll say, in 2 John. So I'm going to read the entire book. Yeah, you're going to get tired. I'm going to do this. It's only 13 chapters, verses. So, the elder, to the lady chosen by God and to her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth. Verse 2, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, and with him in us love and truth. Truth and love. Verse 4, it was given me great joy to find some of my children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one that we've had since the beginning. I ask that we love one another, verse 6, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you've heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. Verse 7, halfway there, I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ have come into the flesh, and they've gone out into the world. Any such person is a deceiver and is an antichrist with a small a. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Verse 9, anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Jesus Christ does not have God. Whosoever continues in the teaching that both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house, nor welcome them. Verse 11. Anyone who rejects or welcomes them shares in their wicked works. I have much to write to you, but I don't wish to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk to you face to face, so that our joy may be made complete. The children of your sister and those chosen by God send you their greetings as well. I want you to look at our introduction here. The first couple of verses, verses 1, 2, 3. To the lady, the children of God, whom I love in truth. And not only I, but also all who know the truth. Because of the whoever lives in us will be with us forever. Do you guys see what's being paired together right here? There are a couple different things being paired. Love and truth. They're going together, like left and right, hand and foot, fingers and gloves. I don't know. What other things go together? Peanut butter and jelly, Skyline chili and cheese. No, I don't know. Things that go together. Pirates and boats, I don't know. Things that go together. Love and truth. Now, how do love and truth fit together? Like interlocking pieces. Can you have love without truth? I'm asking that as a legitimate and honest question. Can you have love without truth? Some people have tried, right? Some people have attempted relationships built on deceit and lies and deception and stuff. And usually those things don't work out all that well. Can you have truth without love? Well, okay, maybe we can build a case on that. Because honestly, there might be some things that are truthful that hurt. Like the fact that I'm bald. That hurts. But it's the truth. And I'm sorry for the glare in the front row. I just can't have anything, the lights here. Oh, well. Truth and love, but they go together like interlocking pieces. When they click, when they connect, when they lock, something happens. God's love is released in those times when they lock together. We read not too long ago on the screen here, John chapter 13, and he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, so also you must love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, for you have loved one another." Remember that about 10, 15 minutes ago on the screen here? That love and that truth interlocking. And becoming complete. This is how we know. This is how you will know that you are my disciples. Because you show love and you abide or you walk in the truth. In 1 John, he goes on and talks about truth and light. He uses an analogy of light. Here we're in a kind of sticking with this analogy of love. And this commandment, we know that we love one another. And that's an important thing, isn't it? As Christians, we should have a love for each other because we have some things in common. We have the same dad, not that guy over there, but our Heavenly Father, right? I wasn't here last Sunday. Pastor Tom says, he's always here. No, I wasn't. I was at Oakland Church of the Nazarene preaching for their pastor who just did a wedding and just kind of needed a break. I needed a vacation. So I was there at Oakland Church of the Nazarene, and I stood up in their pulpit, and I started preaching and talking and whatever. And we started talking about love. And we started talking about the fact that we have some things in common. And we started talking and thinking about, you know what? Even though we're different, we have different families, different backgrounds, things, we have so much in common through Jesus Christ that I can go to a strange church, I didn't know these people from Adam. A strange church. And I could feel the love of Jesus there, and I felt like family. It felt like family. And I have some new friends. And there was a group that went to Trinidad not too long ago, right? Over the seas and such. And we made some new family. Not friends, family. Right? We have new family across the waters. Lori and I have been to Mexico several times. We have family there. Not friends, not relatives, not acquaintances. We have family. Because we have so much in common through Jesus Christ because of the love we have one for another. And that's important, huh? Now, love is something that's kind of crazy to describe. We see it here in, let's see, what verse was that? The new command. Oh, goodness, I just lost it. Verse 5. Now, dear lady, I'm not writing you a new command, but one that we've had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. And verse 6, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands that you've heard from the beginning. So, Pastor Tom, can you come here for a second? Just, you know, no reason. I'm just, you know, got lost in my notes. I figure I need a segue here. And, you know, yeah, just. I want to give you this Valentine's card that Drake and Caitlin helped me make, you know. That's, yeah, maybe we should, huh? So over here it says Pastor Tom with a big heart because, you know, that's what love is. And some flags in there and stuff. They didn't sign it or anything, but here you go. That's for you. Yeah, so Pastor Tom is one of my good friends. And I hope and I think and I'm pretty certain he's one of your good friends as well, right? Exactly. If you need something, I guarantee you, if you get a hold of this gentleman right here, he will move heaven and earth to be by your side if at all possible. Right? Because he's that kind of person. He's the kind of person that loves you, just as much as he loves me. He's the kind of person that loves God, and he shows that by loving each other, one another. Sorry, I don't mean to embarrass you, but I'm just speaking truth. Truth and love, all right? So, but the kind of love Pastor Tom has for myself and for the you and such is not probably represented the best with a Valentine's Day card that has a big heart on it that says, we will always love you forever and that kind of stuff. It's a different kind of love, right? In Greek, we have three. Thank you, sir. I can have you sit down now. I appreciate it. That's for right now. Yeah. No, not at all. No. Why are you so skeptical? Anyway. In Greek, we have three different terms for love. Philios, eros, and agapeo. Like, you know, with Greek, if you just have a good accent, it sounds like you know what you're talking about, all right? Philios. You know, we've heard the city of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love and stuff. That's the kind of love you have for your friends. Eros. It's the kind of love you might have for a spouse. And agape. You probably heard it as agape. I'm sorry, I'm trying to say it as Kansas as I can. Agape. Not even working, is it? Agape. There. Agapeo. Agape. It is an unconditional love. And that is something that's hard to define because the Greeks couldn't define it. And so they just kind of gave up and said, we're just going to have a word for it. We're just going to call it agape love. And that's the term that we have here. That you love one another unconditionally, without exception, without excuse, without fault. That doesn't mean that I love you because of what you can give me. That doesn't mean that I love God because of what God can do for me. Dear children, I write you not a new command, but one that we had from the beginning, that you love one another. That you love one another. Whether that person's Drake right here, or whether that person is, yeah, I told you I was going to do that to you, or someone else, that you love one another. Sometimes hearing the same passage in different versions and stuff kind of helps. And so if those of you know, we moved this summer, and I just now started unpacking some of my Bibles and such, and I put up a bookshelf. So far, my count is 46 different versions. I have more boxes to unpack, but I'm at 46. So I thought that I will read to you this chapter, I'm sorry, verses 5 and 6 from a passage that, or a Bible, that might make a little difference. You know, maybe you can hear it in a different words. This is from the Pirate Translation. Ahoy, me lassies! I plead with ye not to be writing ye a new code, by rendering ye one that ye had since the starting of our voyage together, that ye cherish. I'm sorry, sweetie. That, oh my goodness, I feel horrible, little one. I go walk in the plank. That we, I can't even do this anymore. I'm gonna be sobbing. This is what love is. Shh. This is the way that we love. I'm sorry, I'm still. This is the way that we love. That we sail by his commandments, and 'tis be the rule of the ship. So I promised some people that I would use a pirate translation eventually as I was preaching. But this be the rule of the ship, right? We're all on the same ship. Wait, where have we heard that? We're in the same boat here, aren't we? Yeah, we are. You know where that boat is going? That boat is going to, it's the love boat. Ha! See what I did there? Uh-huh. Those of you under 30 probably have no idea what I'm talking about. Anyway, it's the love boat. Promises something or other. I don't remember. Anyway, yeah, okay. We're on that ship together. And this is how we know that we walk. But John talks about the flip side. He says, it gives me great joy to hear that you are walking in my commands. It gives me great joy, but there's something else going on. There's those in verse 7 that have come along, and they've preached another gospel. What have they preached? Well, we learned not too long ago that verse John was written to a group called the Gnostics. And the Gnostics, sorry, that's how it's spelled, the Gnostics were a group that said the body is evil and it should be punished and it should be done away with. And the spirit is the only thing that matters. And so we really don't need to love one another because you're just flat out evil. You're not worth loving. Your spirit has some value, but you as a person, not so much. And then John here in 2 John comes together and he's like, there are some people that are preaching that we just need to neglect people. We need to ignore people. We need to just not even bother with people. We need to not care about, so to speak, people. But just talk, you know, preach to their spirit. Capture their spirit. I wish the Gnostics had the Gnostic philosophy has died out, but it's still here today. It's still here right now. When we go out and we see someone on the street and we say, oh, look at that person, icky, gross type person. They're, you know, they're not worth it. Why do you say that? God doesn't, you know, that's, you know, someone ought to do something about that. That hits home. That hits hard. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 says, beware of false prophets who come to you as sheep in clothing, but inwardly they're like ravenous wolves. They're spreading lies and deceit. Truth, lies. You see the opposite there, right? Okay. When we come together and those that are around us that are saying things that are contrary, you know, we're worried, we're concerned about your spirit, and we'll make sure that we, as Pastor Tom prayed, you know, Maybe they'll come to Fairlawn Church of the Nazarene so that way we can have 4,217 people in attendance. Is that our goal here, church? Pastor Tom said it, and I keep putting you on the spot, I'm sorry, but he's like, I can preach to an empty church as long as Jesus' word is proclaimed. That's what matters. But I'd rather speak to the believers. I'd rather speak to us all. I'd rather come together and do life with us all together. I don't want, I'm not concerned about, oh, let me put it another way. That doesn't sound right. I am not just concerned with someone's spirit. I'm concerned with the whole person. Spirit, mind, body, all of it. And the church is a perfect place to meet some of these needs. Verse 8 and 9. Let me go back up there. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teachings has both the Father and the Son. And if anyone brings you or does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work. So a little bit of background on that. That message has kind of perplexed me because we have some things in the scripture that talk about hospitality and such and welcoming others in and things of that nature. And it says here, I'm sorry, what? You got a what? Bingo. Who said bingo? What's a bingo? What are your bingos? What are your categories? Read them. No? Well, give me the thing. Let me see. All right, let's see. So, the youth have been doing a bingo. And, oh my goodness, they're all over the place. How, where's your bingo at, Faith? I can't read these. Hang on. Is one of them Jeremy puts on his glasses? Okay. Look down at notes. Covers mouth. Someone in the congregation says bingo. Oh, the scripture is read. Yeah, that's pretty good. All right. So I guess, Faith, you've got your bingo card there, huh? Good job. So back to this, a little bit of context. We are welcoming people into our house and things like that. And he says here, don't even welcome them into your house because by doing so you share in their wicked deeds. And that's a harsh scripture to read sometimes. But think about it for what's going on. There are some traveling preachers. They weren't sitting there at church X on corner of X and Y. They were traveling all over. And so when you brought a teacher into your home, you would sit with them. And you would talk with them for a day or two. And your church would become that kind of, I'm sorry, your home would become like that church or that extension. And people would come into your home and listen to the teacher talk. And John here was saying, that's a great thing. That's a wonderful tradition. But if someone does not proclaim the word of the Lord, don't give them a spot to preach from. Don't give them a space in your house to draw people together and to spout lies. Don't let people, or don't engage in people lying to others. And does that have some practical applications in our world today? We, fortunately, in our world today, don't have anybody that lies or is deceitful or is dishonest or anything, so that's a good thing. Oh, wait a minute, I just was lying and deceitful and dishonest, wasn't I? But seriously, I have heard many false teachings, and you know what a false teaching is when it comes to the scripture? Usually it has a shred of truth in it. We can go on and on and on. If I could have a list or a scroll, and I can list many false doctrines, but all of them sound or could sound like the truth because there's a small shred of truth. And that's how the devil works. He'll take a shred of truth and he'll distort it and he'll pervert it and he'll twist it and he'll mess it up. How did he deal with, or how did he tempt Jesus? Is it not written that man shall not live on... I'm sorry. Let me start again. He tempted Jesus by quoting Jesus' scripture. Truth. Yet, that scripture was so far out of context, Jesus said, no, wait a minute, buddy. You're not even close. So, as we're looking at John, 2 John today, we see two main themes. The first theme, beloved, let us love one another. For we've had this command from the beginning that you love one another. And folks, you guys are doing a bang-up job with that. You guys are doing a great job with that as a church. We felt that love a year and some change ago when we came and visited for the first time. We continue to feel that love yesterday and the day before, et cetera, et cetera. Because this church family is just that. It's a family. And it's a family that rallies around those in need, those who need help, and this just those who want to fellowship. And I love that fact. And because of that, I can honestly and legitimately and just strongly stand before friends and family and say, I know a great church if you're looking for one. I know a great body of believers that are just beyond stellar. And the second theme is, there's others that are saying, there's one group over here saying, beloved, let us love one another. And there's another group over here saying, well, you really don't have to do that. You really don't have to do all that. That's kind of a lot of work. And it might be kind of tedious. And well, you know, we really don't need to do all of that. So what do? Who do we listen to? Where do we come together? Hebrews 10:25, we know this, we've heard this since vacation Bible school. Let us not neglecting the meeting together one of another, and the habit of some are encouraging us to do. All the more so as the day draws near. So some are just saying, don't worry about it. Work out your own salvation. You don't really need Jesus. You can fill in that void or that gap or that thing with some other name or some other practice or some other doctrine. And then there's another group saying, let's love one another and let's love one another to Christ. Pastor Brent said it, it must have been a month ago. He said, you might be the only Bible that someone will ever read. What are they going to see in these pages? Are they going to see your love one to another? Are they going to see your love for your fellow humanity? Are they going to see your love for each other? Or are they going to see someone practicing deceit and evil and twisted lies? I know what they want. I want them to see in my life. Gary, can you come? What are some ways that we can live out love? What are some ways that we can find that love one for another? How can we meet one another's needs in love? I don't have, here's plan A and here's plan B and such, but you will see that day to day. You will see that when there's a day that, the phone rings or you get a text or whatever, and someone needs a hand or someone needs something, and you think, oh, my goodness, I got so much to do today. I got so much to do right now that I don't have the time for them. Or you respond in another way and say, I have so much to do today, but God help me and make it to where I can help others. My day is not my own. My day belongs to God. Every morning I wake up and I say, God, whatever this day brings, may it bring glory to you. And sometimes it's not what I want to see or what I planned, and other times it's better than I've ever hoped for. But let's love one another. This passage was read just a few minutes ago, and as Pastor Tom said, and I keep coming back to you, sir, I'm sorry, but you're a mentor to me. I can't read this passage without saying it from the old King James. I think that was a church Bible's church camp song or something like that. But I'm just going to say it in King James, and thou goest and thy benediction and stuff. Beloved, let us love one another. For love comes of God, and everyone who knoweth, loveth God. He who loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is love. 1 John 4:7-8. For God is love. You didn't hear anything else today. I want you to hear those three words. God is love. Let that sink in for a moment. Let that sink in this week. As we face the trials and the troubles and the joys and the happiness too. God is love. Therefore, since we love God, let us love one. Our Lord Jesus, we stand beside you, we stand in front of you, we bow down before you, and we thank you for the chance that we had to hear those words. God is love. Pierce our heart this week. Keep that with us. Keep that abiding love inside of us so that we can show it to the world outside of us. Walk before us. Walk beside us. In Jesus' name we pray today. Amen. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day.